Take your Bibles this morning. We're going to get right to it today. No dilly, no dally. Leave your weapons here. All right. Luke chapter 10 this morning. Luke chapter 10. And if you've read ahead, you know the great passage that is coming. It's the passage on the Good Samaritan. And perhaps there are some that have already looked ahead and you know that that passage is coming. And you're just excited as you can be to know that we'll get to that very familiar story. And what a time it will be. But I tell you what, this passage right before the Good Samaritan has jumped off the pages of Scripture at me, and it has challenged my heart, encouraged my heart. Perhaps, and I know this may be just a few of you, but perhaps some of you today could use some good news. And you would just be delighted to hear something that was good today. And so, you know what? Today's your day. I'm glad to have you here because today's the day of good news. And if you'll turn away or turn down the sound, the proverbial sound on all of the 24/7 news networks and everything like this, and just hone in on this passage of Scripture, I tell you what, it is encouraging, and I believe that it will challenge your heart. It has challenged my heart. I sat in my office yesterday just kind of finalizing everything for the message, and I thought to myself, well, the Good Samaritan story will probably take more than 1 week. But then the more I thought on this, boy, this could take some more time. But now that I'm starting to preach at 10:05, 10:10, I mean, this is perfect. I mean, I can go for an hour and a half and still have you out of here by 11:30 and still have time to clean the auditorium. This is just awesome. I remember in Preacher Boys, we had two semesters of preaching where we had to videotape ourselves. And our messages had to be 10 to 12 minutes long. And I tell you, at that time in my life, I thought, what am I going to say for 10 to 12 minutes? And now you're saying, Pastor, we would love for you to go 10 to 12 minutes and fit all that in. That's right. And now I've got so much more to say. 10 to 12 minutes just isn't enough. But I do pray, of all Sundays, this is the kind of Sunday that I would most encourage you to take notes. If you're not in the habit of taking notes, this is the kind of Sunday. Take notes, write these things down, because this is probably a passage that you've read right over, because you know how it is in devotions. When you're in your devotional time and you come across the passage in which you're familiar with the statements, the wording, the story, you kind of just glance right over certain things. Oh, yes, I remember the story of the Good Samaritan. And it would be easy for us to jump right over what is said here in these verses. But I do pray that this will be a help to you, and I pray that you take this back and in your own personal devotions that you just have time to meditate on the wealth of encouragement that is here in these verses. Luke chapter 10, I want to look at verses 17 through 24. If you're in the habit of underlining the verses in your Bible, this is a great passage to underline. Again, it's the type of thing that you would not traditionally look to and say, oh, that's just a fantastic passage. But I do pray that we can cause it to leap off the pages of Scripture today and be an encouragement to each one. Pastor, I need encouragement. Well, let's look at what the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 24. The Bible says, and the 70 returned. This is the group of individuals that have been sent out two by two to preach the gospel of the Lord. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Let's pray and ask God's direction in the message this morning, Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 24. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for the congregation and the flock that you've given to us here at FBT. We're delighted to be able to be together again. There's so many that are watching online and that are not able to be here on campus, but we're just delighted to begin the process of working our way back towards our full-fledged services. We thank you for your hand of protection upon our flock and upon the different individual lives and the protection from illnesses and the comings and goings of so many of our folks. We thank you for watching over us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here today and to look at this passage, and I pray that this would be a tremendous encouragement to people that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior this morning. If there be one today that's never put their faith and trust in Christ, may today be that special day that they repent of their sins and trust you alone for their eternal life. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. What do we learn from this passage here as the Lord had sent out the 70 and now they have returned? You know, this passage really has it all. It has humanity, it has deity, it has the past, it has the present, it has the future, it has great doctrine, and it has great practical application. Really, the theme of the text is the contrast between temporal joy and eternal rejoicing. Temporal joy versus eternal rejoicing. Would you notice with me, number one, just two simple points this morning, but we'll break down these verses in a greater way. Would you notice, first of all, with me, the focus of their temporal joy? The focus of their temporal joy. Look at verses 17 to 19 again. In the opening passage here in chapter 10, Christ sends them out and tells them to go forth into the cities and to preach the truth. And they've returned, and the Bible says the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. In other words, as we look at this focus of their temporal joy, the first statement that we see that just jumps off the pages at us is, look at us. Here in these opening words from the 70 as they return is, look at us, Lord. Even the devils are responsive to us in your name. Now, this is not unusual for any of us, because at certain times, all of us have a little bit of braggadocio in us, don't we? There's a little bit of braggadocio. Now, I'm going to rehearse a story from many years ago, but in 1991 into 92, the football team that once existed here in this area was really good. And they were so good that year. It was an incredible year. It was my senior year in college. And it just so happened that my senior roommate was also a Washington fan. The team that once existed in this area. And as we began that season, we were so pumped and encouraged because two seniors in that room, we had a third roommate. He was a freshman, and he was a New York Giants fan. And in that season, the Washington team that once existed in our area started the season, I believe, 11-0 or 12-0. And it was incredible for us as Washington football fans. We were just beside ourselves for what the year was going to hold. But I think it was in their 11th or 12th week, they lost their first game. And we loved this so much that when we cut out the stats every week, we posted them to our dorm door. We rubbed it into our roommate over and over again because he was a fan of the New York football Giants. And we just rubbed it in. We had a certain level of braggadocio. Look at us. Look at our team. Aren't we something? Well, now we no longer exist. And in one sense of it, I say praise God. Because now I believe they are the best team that's no longer in existence. Amen. They are the team that has won the most Super Bowls that is no longer in existence. And that just encourages my heart to no end. It gives me some reason to rejoice. At some point in time, you've had some reason to have a little bit of braggadocio in you. You've had something that's transpired. You've been given some kind of ribbon. You've had some kind of accomplishment. You've had some kind of challenge that was put in front of you, some kind of grade that was placed in front of you. You've had the opportunity in a classroom, in an employment setting. You've had some opportunity to have some kind of braggadocio. Maybe it was a new rank. Maybe it was a new promotion. But you had the opportunity to kind of have that swelling up in your in the inside. And you said, man, this is pretty special. There's some braggadocio that might go along with it. Well, the braggadocio is here from this group, and they come back and they say, we went out and, Lord, we just want to let you know, hey, the devils respond to us in your name. Aren't we something? We have the Greek New Testament memorized. We have the Hebrew Bible memorized. We've memorized the Word of God. Aren't we something? Hey, I came back from visitation. I led 72 souls to Christ. Yeah, let me just let everyone know that, yes, you're right. I'm pretty special. You see, the devils responded to us. Aren't we something? A little bit of temporal joy that's exhibited there. Look at what we can do. Wow. When we went out in your power, this is what occurred. Even the devils are subject unto us. And to an extent they were, that's right, in the power of Almighty God. But after they got done with the look at us, Jesus Christ responds and says, let me teach you some things. This is kind of your sophomore year in college where you think you know everything. Your sophomore year in high school where you think you know everything. This is you arriving and letting everyone know what you've learned, and the teacher begins to reveal what you have not yet learned. Again, this is finite man speaking to an infinite God. Finite man says, look at us. An infinite God says, just a moment. Let me give you some insight. Verse 17, look at us. Even the devils respond to us in your name. But Jesus Christ responds in this matter of their focus of temporal joy, and he says, let me give you some insight. Here's the insight he gives. Now, I don't know if you're catching this or not, but Jesus is going to go all the way back to the foundations of the world, and he's going to go all the way forward into the book of Revelation with a couple of different insights. So here in the finite view of certain individuals, they said, look at us, aren't we something? Jesus is going to say, let me tell you something from this end, and let me tell you something on that end. Will you see it with me in verses 18 and 19? Let me give you insight, first of all, from the past. He says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Guys, gals, all of you that have gone out in my name, that have done so much, and proclaim the truth of scriptures and everything like this. I guess I should say guys as far as preaching is concerned. But as all of this is unveiled, and they said, look at how the devils respond to us. The Lord says, no, let me reveal some things to you that you don't quite understand. You know, for us in our finiteness, we stand in a point of history. And we often get consumed with everything in our point of history, and we fail to realize what is behind us. And we often fail to think about what is before us. But Jesus Christ here in the moment declares, man, listen to me. Let me tell you what is actually behind you, and let me tell you the power of Satan. You see, I was there when Satan fell from heaven. Look what the Bible says again. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 15. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. This is the nature of Lucifer before he fell. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The Bible says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Young men, listen to me. Don't get so proud and haughty in this matter of the devil's being subservient to you at this point, because the power of the enemy is very real. Never think for a moment that the power of this demonic activity and the power of this leader of the demons is not real and is not very much in play. And he takes them all the way back to the time that that Lucifer in his rebellion led against Almighty God and took one third of the angelic host with him in his rebellion, and God cast them out of heaven. He says, let me take you there. You think that this is something that they're subservient to you. Let me tell you the power of Satan, because I was there when he was cast out of heaven. But then he says, I want to give you insight, not just from the past, but let me give you insight from the future. And look what the Bible goes on to say. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Take your Bibles and go with me to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. And let's bring into play the future. Revelation chapter 11. The Bible says, first of all, that Christ refers back to the power of Satan at the time frame of being cast out of heaven. He says, listen, don't underestimate the power of the enemy. You're rejoicing over something that is very temporal, that they're subservient to you. But then he fast forwards and he says, okay, let me tell you about another group of individuals that's going to have power, and it's going to be beyond what you've just told me. It's going to be beyond anything that you can ask or think. It's going to be far beyond even what you've just said about your comings and goings. Revelation chapter 11, look at verse number 3. This is speaking about the two witnesses that will come during the tribulation. Again, their ministry is in that first 3.5 years of the tribulation, and they will preach and teach from Jerusalem. And boy, I tell you what, there's going to be an awful lot of people that hate them. Revelation chapter 11, look at the description of these two individuals. The Bible says in verse number 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Imagine a John the Baptist and an Elijah in the midst of Jerusalem preaching the truth of Jesus Christ right now. You think it would create a stir? It would create a stir. Now, don't go home today saying that I said the two witnesses are John the Baptist and Elijah. I didn't say that. I just said imagine, okay? All right. But the Bible says these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. Ah, that's pretty cool. And devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Verse number 6, these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Finite man appears before the Lord Jesus Christ after Jesus has sent them out in ministry. Finite man says, boy, this is awesome. Even the devils are subservient to us through thy name. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, from the position of deity, let me take you back and let me tell you about the power of Satan. Don't be deceived. And men, lest you think that this is significant, I'm going to fast forward to two individuals that are going to come, and their power is even greater than you can imagine and even greater than what you've experienced, because they're going to do these kinds of things. So man says, in temporal joy, look at us. Jesus Christ says, no. We're not looking at what's accomplished here in this moment. I want to teach you a few lessons from the past and from the future. And what the power of God will really accomplish. We first of all note the focus of their temporal joy, but I want you to notice with me, number two, as the Lord goes further on this, he gives them facts worthy of their eternal rejoicing. They come with a focus on temporal joy. Even the devils are submissive to us. But back in Luke chapter 10, the Lord turns his focus from their statements in verses 17 through 19, and he puts it right here on the matter for eternal rejoicing. And he says in verse number 20, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." It's obvious that I must start with this statement, or with this question, I should say. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It is not written there because of who your parents are. It is not written there because of who your grandparents are. It is not written there by virtue of attending a fundamental church. It is not written there by any good work that you can do. The only way that it is written there is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They express temporal joy, and they say, "Lord, this is incredible. The devils are subject to us." And the Lord takes that temporal joy, and he says, "Let me tell you about eternal rejoicing. Here's the reason to really rejoice. Your name is written in heaven." And can I say to you this morning, I'm so glad that it's not written in pencil. There's a new name written down in pencil, and it's mine. No, praise God, it's not written in pencil. No man can blot it out of his book. Praise God that when I receive the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and it's applied to my heart, that in the blood of Jesus Christ, my name is written down for all eternity in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible goes on to say that the Holy Spirit of God seals me unto the day of redemption. My friend, there's no better seal than the seal of Almighty God. Temporal joy. The devils are submissive to us. The Lord says to them, "Listen, that's not cause for rejoicing. Here's what's cause for rejoicing, that your name is written down in heaven." Let's go further on this matter. You know, we have no place in this life whereof to boast. The Apostle Paul stated it in several different ways and on several different occasions. To the church at Corinth, he said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." To the churches there in southern Galatia, he says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me." To the church at Philippi, he says in chapter 3 in verses 4 through 14, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." You see, in truth, we have nothing to rejoice in that is in and of ourselves. Oh, well, I'm in this position, or I've attained this opportunity, or I have this level of ministry, or I have this position in the world or in the ministry. You know, I have no place to boast. No place to boast. But I do have something to rejoice in. And it is that my name is written in heaven. Well, God gives three things that are worthy of our eternal rejoicing. The first one I've already said, verse number 20, that our name is written down in heaven. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 3, the Apostle Paul says to Philippi, he's rejoicing over the labor of different individuals, and he speaks to those fellow laborers, and he says, "Whose names are in the book of life. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So again I say, do you have cause for rejoicing this morning because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? Well, you look like you've gotten gussied up this morning. On our way in this morning, my wife said, boy, this is the first time I've worn heels in a couple of weeks. For some, you've become accustomed to working from home, and so the sweatpants feel pretty good to you right now. My stretchy pants, right? You've gotten accustomed to the flip-flops and to enjoying the relaxation of home. I saw, I think it was a meme, and it had the description of how we look when we're on just the voice call and how we look when we're on the video call. And I thought that was pretty interesting. Now, I see Cassie here, and I do have to tell on your brother. I was on a conference call with Pastor Kyle Fannin, the esteemed, revered Pastor Kyle Fannin from Georgetown, Kentucky, Bluegrass Baptist Church. And we were on a conference call with numerous missionaries around the world, Albania, Honduras, and another couple of locations. And the esteemed, revered Reverend Fannin gets onto the video call, and he's got something special for us. And he has on a Bob Ross wig. You know who Bob Ross is? Does everybody know who Bob Ross is? All right, PBS painter, you know. Make the trees look like this. Make the grass look like this, all right? He's got on a Bob Ross wig. Well, if you know Pastor Fannin, he does not have enough hair to make a Bob Ross wig. And so it's pretty funny to see him. It might have been, now that I think back at it, it was either Bob Ross or Harpo Marx. So I'm not positive which, but it was one of those two. But I know how those are. I know how we are. We've become very accustomed to these things. We've become very content. There's a lot of things that you've done this morning to get ready to come here, and there's a lot of things that people will think about you because of what they see on the outside. But what does God know about your inside? Is your name really written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? If not, today's the day. Today's the day. The first cause for rejoicing or eternal joy is that our names have been written. But let me give you two more things. The second thing that Christ goes to, and he says it here in verses 21 to 24, and this is where we want to extend out the cause for rejoicing. And I hope that this will encourage you this morning. Verses 21 to 24, the Lord turns in the conversation with these individuals that have returned, and he says to the Heavenly Father, he rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son hath revealed will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples. Now again, based on the conversation that he just had with his Heavenly Father, he turns to his disciples, and I want this to sink in with you, because I know it is easy for us to just glance right over this, but I want this to sink in with you, and I hope I'll help in making that happen. He said, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see.
For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them. Number one, cause for rejoicing, your name is written down in heaven. Number two, cause for rejoicing, the things that your eyes have seen. Now, to put this in perspective and to really kind of grasp the weight of it, he compares what the disciples are able to see versus that of what the prophets and the kings were able to see. Well, I can go back and I can read in the Word of God what the prophets and kings were able to see, and I think there's some pretty special things. What about the prophet Elijah being at the brook Cherith and being fed by the waters of the brook and then being fed by the ravens that brought the meat? I think that would have been pretty incredible, don't you? I think it'd been pretty incredible to be Elijah and to be able to say, Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. Boy, I'd love to do that with a couple of governors. You talk about having a life insurance policy. You talk about being in good standing. And by the way, if I could insert this, we really need to pray for a lot of churches, and maybe we'll be in the same boat, but there's already churches that are going after the truth of the First Amendment and saying, okay, that's enough of this lockdown. We're going to be back in services, let come what may. I think the prophet saw some pretty incredible things. What about the prophet going to the lady and saying that the oil would never run out? I think that's pretty incredible. What about David picking up 5 smooth stones out of the brook and putting one of them into the sling and taking that rock and twirling it time and again and hitting Goliath right in the forehead? I think that was a pretty incredible thing. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ says to the disciples, what you are seeing is beyond what the prophets and the kings saw. And if they had the opportunity, they'd love to be right where you are and seeing what you're able to see. You think that this is cause for rejoicing, that the devils are subservient to you? Let me tell you what's cause for rejoicing. Your name is written down in heaven, and you've been able to see the things that you're able to see. What had they seen? The blind receive sight. John chapter 9, boy, it's a great story. You might put it in your notes and go back and read the story of the blind that was made to see. It's an incredible story that's laid out in that entire chapter, John chapter 9. The disciples had been able to see the one that was lame from birth and the one that was lame from later on or for 30 some odd years, and Jesus walks over and raises them up. That's a pretty incredible thing. The disciples had been able to see the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, the leper cured. The disciples had been able to see the demonic world tremble. You remember Legion? The disciples had been able to see the fish pay their taxes. I'd love for that to happen. Fish over here at Burke Lake. Yep, caught it. Good to go. Paying my property taxes today. Wouldn't that be great? The disciples had seen some pretty incredible things. And the Lord says, I'm so thankful that this sight has been given to these babes. But he goes on to say something more. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Rejoice in the things that you see, because the prophets and kings would love to be in your position. And I'm thinking to the prophets and kings, man, I can't wait to talk to Elijah and Elisha and find out all about their ministries here in Israel. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to be able to talk to the prophet when he prayed to God and said, open the eyes of my servant that he might see? And the servant was so worried about the armies that encamped against them. And when the prophet prayed, the eyes of the servant were open, and then he saw the angelic host. Man, I'm excited to talk to him about that. But the Lord says, what you've been able to see is even beyond that. They would love to be in your position. But it goes even further. And here's number three. Here's cause for eternal rejoicing.
Not just that your name is written, not just what your eyes have seen, but also what your ears have heard. The Bible says there in verse number 24, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. What had they heard? What had the disciples been privy to? Well, they'd heard the Sermon on the Mount. Can you imagine what it was like there to be in that crowd in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, where the Lord Jesus Christ explains the Old Testament and brings it into the New Testament age? Can you imagine what it was like to be there for the kingdom parables in Matthew chapter 13, and the Lord lays out all these parables, and the disciples are just sitting under the teaching of God? Can you imagine what it was like for them to hear the rebuke of man-made religion? When the Lord Jesus Christ looked right at the Pharisees and the scribes and all the Sadducees and the Herodians and looked at them all and said, "You're whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones." Can you imagine what it was like to be there for Matthew chapter 24 and 25 and hear the lessons on prophecy and how all of this would come to an end? Can you imagine being there for the final lessons in the garden as Judas Iscariot has departed from the apostles and gone to turn in the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine what it was like to be there? And Jesus says, "This is cause for eternal rejoicing. The things that your eyes have seen and the things that your ears have heard." I close this morning with a little bit of personal private time, if you would. Because this is the personal private time that I had in my office. As I thought on these things and what Jesus Christ says, and again, this is the contrast between finite man and an infinite God. Finite man says, "Man, we're really rejoicing. Aren't we something? The devils are even submissive to us." And God says, "Let me just tell you, you're in a finite role right now. But I've seen the power of Satan in the time he was cast out of heaven. And I know the power of the two witnesses that are to come. And I know what they're going to be able to do. You're rejoicing over something that's very temporary. It's temporary joy, but let me give you the reason for eternal rejoicing. Your name's written down in heaven. Your eyes have seen and your ears have heard." I wasn't there when he fed the 5,000. What that must have been like. Disciples caused the crowd to sit down in groups. And the disciples begin to pass out the fish and the loaves, and everyone is fed, and everyone is filled, and yet there is still food left over. I wasn't there when he calmed the waters of the sea, and the disciples struggled to get that ship aright and to protect it from sinking, and Jesus walks to them on the sea. I wasn't there when he was raised from the dead, or when he raised the dead and he called Lazarus to come forth. I wasn't there when he died on the old rugged cross and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus come and take his body and bury it in a borrowed tomb. I wasn't there when he rose again the next day. I wasn't there when he walked the road to Emmaus and fellowshiped with those disciples. I wasn't there when he appeared in the midst of the church meeting and he came on the day of resurrection to give encouragement. The church rejoiced. I wasn't there when he was seen of above 500 at one time, as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I wasn't there when the multitudes watched him ascend. And what it must have been like in Acts chapter 1 as Jesus Christ finished up that post-resurrection ministry and encouraging the church to do what was right. And he commissioned them to go into all the world. And then he ascended up into heaven. I wasn't there on that mountain when they watched him ascend. But you know what, my friend? I'll be here when he comes back. I'll be here when he comes down. The Apostle Paul thought it could happen in his time frame. He said, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we meet the Lord in the air. The Apostle Paul thought it could happen in his day. Well, we're some 2,000 years removed from the days of the Apostle Paul. How much more could it occur in the day in which you and I are alive? You see, I wasn't there for all these other things. I wasn't there when he went up, but I'll be here when he comes down. And do you know what the Lord would say to every one of us if he were to appear to us in 2020, who now hold in our hands the completed canon of Scripture? We hold in our hands the opportunity to learn from the Word of God, to fellowship together with the local church, to be a part of this world at this time in the year 2020. For all of us, he would say, here's the reason to rejoice. Your name is written down in heaven. Here's reason to rejoice. The things that your eyes have seen and the things that our eyes will see. Here's reason to rejoice what you have heard. You see, when I turn on the news channel, I can become pretty discouraged in almost a moment's notice. There are some news channels that if I just even pass by them and hear two words, I can become quite discouraged. But I tell you, when you read these passages and an infinite God says, don't be discouraged, I'm still on the throne. And just as I said, I'm coming back again. Christian, will you rejoice today that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Will you rejoice today in the things that you've seen and the opportunity to hear the things that you've heard? Will you leave this place and be more committed to doing what God would have you to do, because we do not know how long we have left on this earth? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture, and I pray that it will encourage folks this morning. There's so many discouraging things in society, but we recognize with a biblical worldview that God is on the throne, that he is our creator, that he has been crucified to provide the way of salvation, and that he is coming back again. Lord, would you encourage each heart today? If there be those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, maybe in the quietness of this moment, they would realize the weight of their sin. And the fact that we are not saved by any works of our own righteousness, we can only be saved according to the mercy of Almighty God and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And I pray in the quietness of this moment, if there be one or more that's never repented of their sins and trust Jesus Christ alone, that they would, in this quiet time, say something like this: Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Would you please forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and save me today? There's nothing magical about those words. It's the application of the blood of Christ to all that believe. And I pray that you do that special work this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as believers to be salt and light in this ever-darkening world. May we keep our eyes toward heaven, knowing that we are wayfaring strangers, pilgrims just passing through. But while we have time on this earth, Lord, may we be effective in proclaiming your name to our family members, our friends, our neighbors, and our associates. We need not rejoice that we're able to preach or that we're able to sing. All those things are temporary, but I pray that we'd be rejoicing today over these matters of eternity, that our names are written in heaven. Thank you for our time together this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.